morning to the book of Psalms, chapter 127, or Psalm number 127. I'd like to take a few moments to talk about our heritage. Rather than receiving from our youth, I'd like to talk about our youth this morning, just for a few moments. And as you're flipping, just a number of thank yous. There's so many people to thank for just the great thing that God's doing in our kids. Parents, you're all doing a fabulous job, and we appreciate you so much in loving and caring for your kids. There are different people who have helped out with youth this past year. Chris and Pastor Glenn both helped out and did wonderful jobs. We appreciate all that you guys have done. I know Pastor Glenn's downstairs, so I'll have to tell him afterwards. And Katrina and Christine worked those kids hard in preparing for drama and worship. If it wasn't for them, the service would have been short, because all I can tell them to do is how to stand up here. And as cute as they would be. Amen. So compliments to you young people. You did a wonderful job. You took it very seriously. You honored God, and you honored our church today. So we appreciate what you guys did so much. Today we wanted to... let me read the scripture first off. Talking about our heritage, Psalm 127, just verse 3. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing to be with us this morning. Father, we thank You so much for the goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ. We thank You for all of our young people, God. They're truly a great blessing to this church. God, we pray as we look to the Word of God this day that we would have a greater passion for young people, God, to see, Lord, Your work and Your moving in their lives. To see them, God, even now begin to take up the reins of ministry and Christian maturity. And God, we just love and thank You for Your goodness and grace and ask all these things in Your name. Amen. Amen. Today, one of the things we wanted to do was give our kids an opportunity to spread their wings and minister. Although many do minister in different aspects of the service or of the ministries of the church, especially in our children's ministries. Many are involved in kids' church and involved in missionettes and rangers and do a wonderful job. Without them, we would not be able to do the things that we do. We'd not be able to serve the way that we serve. Many are also involved in nursery. And so these are very important and vital ministries of the church, which our young people, our teenagers, are involved with. And so we wanted to give them an opportunity, obviously, to spread their wings and minister to us as adults. Of course, they're ministering to the Lord, but in kind, they also minister to us. But we also want to remind ourselves today, and I think it's a good opportunity where the kids were showcased this morning, so to speak, to remind us of the importance of training our kids well. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, that we're to train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not turn from it. A large part of what happens in the lives of our young people spiritually, and of course the most important thing that can happen in their lives, is not for them to become doctors or lawyers or scientists or presidents or diplomats or things of that nature, although all those things are wonderful and important. Most important thing that can happen in the lives of our young people is for them to accept Christ as their Savior and keep that faith to the end of their lives and be a bright and shining witness for them. That is the most important thing, and what we do has a great impact. God, of course, is everywhere and can reach anyone in any circumstance because He is God and He is limitless. But God has also put the responsibility on us, the adults of the church, to train up children in the way that they should go. And of course, that responsibility primarily rests upon us as parents. Parents, we will stand accountable before God for everything that God has given us. Judgment Day is coming, and it's not the judgment of whether or not we'll go to heaven and hell if we have professed Christ as Savior, but the believer will also face a judgment. And the judgment that we will face is a judgment of what did we do with what God gave us. And of course, God has given us all many things. And even though we all have different gifts and talents, one of the things, and not to get off on a rabbit trail this morning, but just for a few moments, one of the things that we all have been given equally is time. Nobody has more time than anyone else, although some of us live a few more years than others. But as far as hours in the day, days in the week, we all have the same amount of time. And God will hold us account for that. But one of the precious things that we have been given is our children. And we've been given a mandate from God to raise them up to serve God and to know God. And parent, that responsibility is upon every one of you. But it's also upon the body as a whole. Because every child in here, if you attend this church, look up to you as a spiritual leader. You might not believe it or not, you might not want that responsibility in your life. And whether you want it or not, it doesn't matter. You have it anyways, because kids look up to adults. They look up to their teachers, they look up to police and doctors and all figures of authority, and they look up to you as people who have professed Christ as Savior and who live for Him. And kids, and it's something about it, especially kids who grow up in church, they have a very idealistic view of life. And in their mind, they expect and they think, and I'm sharing this from experience, that every adult who knows Jesus should be like John the Baptist, who is a very intense person for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know, now I'm not saying we have to live perfectly. We're called to live the best that we can, and we are imperfect, and it all happens. But just to stress the importance of us living well and investing in our younger people. Because literally, if God's word is true, their souls depend upon it. So this morning, very briefly, I'd just like to share with you three things regarding our responsibility and our young people, both our teens who ministered today, and of course they're ministering in other areas, and even our younger ones. The first responsibility that we have as a church, and also as parents, is to teach our children. Bringing them to church is important. It's important for them to come out and to worship God. It's important for them. We have them sometimes upstairs. I think it's important for them to worship God with adults, as well as worship God in their own at their own age level. I think it's important not only that they worship God with adults, but that they see adults worshiping Him. It's important that they hear the word of God preached. But they also need the word of God taught to them. Preaching is very important. In the Bible, we see the primary means of transmitting the gospel or sharing the love of Jesus to other people is through the preaching of God's word. It is something God anoints. We don't know why. You know why somebody jumping up and down and raising their voice does, but God uses the foolishness of men to reach people for His love, for His honor, and for His glory. But preaching is just part of the ministry of the Word of God, not the whole. Another very important part, which is different, is that of teaching. And if you just expose yourself to preaching without exposing yourself to teaching, you are going to have a very difficult time as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what teaching does, teaching is something that encourages your faith. But what preaching does, it increases your knowledge of who God is and grounds you in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sermons are good, But they fail in the area of teaching. Because in preaching a sermon, if I was in a normal everyday sermon or every week sermon that I share, if I was to take time and go into all the background of what I was saying and all the background of the individuals that we were talking about, the message I would preach literally would be hours. I know for some of you it seems that way, but... We don't have time in a sermon talking about a thought that speaks to one faith to teach them some of the rudiments of the gospel or the rudiments of Christianity. But what teaching does, it brings into the life of the believer the solid foundation or understanding that they need of the Word of God. I left my Bible in the front pew, so that they can be strong in faith. And as people who are to raise their children the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ, what we need to do both as a church and as parents is not only expose our children to preaching, but also to teaching. Now, I'm a church kid. I grew up in church. You know, I was one of those kids, you know, born on Saturday and church Sunday. Not literally, but... I don't remember a time that I was never in church. And one of the things my mom was very diligent about was sending us to Sunday school. We didn't have Wednesday night per se, but we did have Sunday school. And she just didn't bring us to Sunday school, my mom and my dad, but especially my mom. You know, we had the little books that we took home. And you know, Saturday night I had to go through all those books. And I had to learn the memory verse. And you know what? A lot of those verses that I learned on Saturday night, I still know today. A lot of the lessons that I learned on Sunday morning from all the great teachers that I had, and like Mrs. Anderson, and Mrs. Smith, and Mrs. Butler, and you know, thinking of all these wonderful ladies and the input they had in my life, I still remember those stories. And they helped me in life. In fact, my first year in Bible school, I didn't have to crack a book. Why? I had it all in Sunday school. It taught me a lot of things I needed to know about who Jesus was. So parents, I encourage you. As a church, we need to continue. We do Sunday school, but also the Word of God is taught in Wednesday night in Royal Rangers and Missionettes. We need to, as a church, continue to do those things. And let me tell you, some of these ministries are struggling as far as people-wise. So we need to do two things. Number one, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. And number two, do what the kids were talking about this morning. Lord, here I am, send me. Because we want to continue to create opportunities for kids to learn the Word of God. And secondly, we need to, as parents, we need to make sure our kids are taking advantage of these things. Because my sermons will not be enough. Pastor Glenn's sermons will not be enough. They're good, they're important, but they're only part of what's necessary for someone to grow. Teaching the Word of God is important. And let me, you know, I don't want to get off on too many tangents this morning, but let me tell you, we have problems, kids have problems outside in the world that they have to face, no doubt. Amen? They got drugs, they got sex, they got alcohol, they've got all kinds of things. But there's things inside the church that kids have to worry about. Strange teachings that are literally contrary to the Word of God, but are being taught from pulpits and in classrooms in different churches. Good churches, born-again churches, even Spirit-filled churches. What will protect their mind from that error but the Word of God acting as that helmet of salvation, enabling them to discern right from wrong, good doctrine from bad? Secondly, we need to pray for our kids and pray hard. One thing we need to realize as parents, but also as a church, salvation is not inherited. You might be a born-again believer, filled with the Holy Spirit. You might go to the farthest corners of the earth to preach the gospel. You might lead thousands upon thousands to Jesus Christ. But just because of those things does not mean that automatically your child, when they reach the age of accountability, will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, each one of us, everybody, will give an account of himself to God. As I've mentioned, I've been in church all of my life. I've met a lot of church kids who had a lot of devoted parents. I've known PKs, and I've done things with PKs, and what a PK is a pastor's kid, that I've done things with them that I didn't do with my friends who didn't know Jesus. And in fact, PKs and DKs, I was a DK, I was a deacon's kid. They're one of two things. Either they're really on fire for God or they're really far from God, I found. Sometimes they're in the middle. And I share all those things just to let you know. Just because you go to church and you are a believer doesn't mean your kids are going to accept Christ. Especially if you have a very lazy or apathetic attitude towards their spiritual formation. And just because kids are here at church and they attend youth group or they attend Wednesday night does not necessarily mean they'll accept Christ as their Savior or they'll continue strong in their faith. They need to be taught, but even more so, they need to be prayed for. And they need to be prayed for hard. Because salvation is not a mental thing, although your mind is involved. Primarily, salvation is a spiritual thing. It's when the Holy Spirit comes and convicts you of your sin. It's when the Holy Spirit comes and lets you know that Jesus loves you and died on the cross for those sins. It's when the Holy Spirit comes and says, if you come and make me Lord of your life, I'll come and forgive you of your sin and give you a brand new hope and a future. It's a spiritual thing. Where does temptation happen? It happens in our minds and in our spirits. And what do kids need today? They need more of the Holy Spirit. And what can we do? I can't pour it into a person, or pour him, excuse me, into a person. I can't make a young person be filled with the Holy Ghost. But I can pray hard. That God will fill them to overflowing in the name of Jesus with the power of His Holy Spirit. That God will make them strong in the face of temptation. That God will move upon their hearts. In fact, my prayer as a parent from the time they were born was at a young age they would accept Christ as their Savior. And that they, and I still pray today that they will follow and serve Him all of their days. That's my prayer. And we need to pray hard that that would happen in their lives. For our own children and members at large, we need to pray for the kids of this church. Because if we're truly brother and sister, we call ourselves that. That means we're family. That means your kids are my kids, and my kids are your kids. And so we have joint responsibility in Jesus' name. And thirdly, this morning, we need to, and I think this is as important as the previous two, we need to live our faith before the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:2 says, you yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. Your greatest witness, your greatest testimony is your life. Because if your life does not back up what you say, then what you say is not worth anything. There are people who, and if you declare yourself as a Christian, there are people who watch you, and they watch you with the purpose to see what kind of Christian you are. And so there's a lot of people who are watching you, and the two eyes that are watching you the hardest and scrutinizing you the most are the eyes of especially our teenagers and our children. I'm sharing this from experience. I grew up in church. And not just me, but all the kids I grew up with. Church kids are kind of a unique breed. They are. They're different from other kids. They see the world differently from other kids. And their approach to Christianity is different. I don't have time to get into it. But it's wholly different when you grow up in church. And you know, let me tell you, and I know this is the case for our kids. I just know because I just identify with them. They don't miss a thing. When we were kids, you know, we mimicked everyone. We mimicked the preacher. We mimicked, you know, and there's always some characters in church. And, you know, and we'd always bring that out. And I'm not saying it was right, but kids do it. Why? Because they're watching. And they're looking to see whether or not ye truly are what you say you are. So they're watching. And of course, the children or the young people that watch us the most closely are our own children. They see us at home. They see us in the car. They see us in our places of strength, but they also see us in our place of weakness. And they're judge of Christianity, and they're judge on the authenticity of the Word of God and who Jesus Christ is greatly depends on who you are as a parent. It's kind of a Father's Day sermon a week early. We really need to live for God. And let me tell you, we live in a small community. And you might even live in New London or Groton, or you might live up in Plainfield. This is still a small area. In last town I lived in, it was 1,200 people. You bumped into someone everywhere you went. If I wanted to go visiting, I just went to Walmart because I knew I'd meet someone there. The town I lived in before that was 300,000. I never met anyone. Very rarely. My wife did. There was a lady who went to our church, and every time she skipped church, she'd bump into her at the grocery store afterwards. Remember Carol? Anyway, she's a wonderful lady. She was. But here, and you don't know, you're at the mall. You could be at the mall. You could be at the tire store. You could be at McDonald's. There might be two little eyes watching you and seeing you. Let's see if so-and-so who gets up and prays or who gets up and sings or who teaches me or who does this or does that at church. Let's see if they're truly who they are. Because if you're not, the fallout of that is devastating. A child. Let me tell you one of the most devastating things, but when I went to Bible school, God kind of brought down all the different people that I had on a pedestal. And one group of people were teachers. I always viewed teachers as like the epitome of men and women of virtue, and you know, they were just always the best. And then I became a substitute teacher. And we had break. We all went to break together. And this is, I was only 2 years into college. I was only like 19 years old doing that. And I couldn't believe the things I was hearing that they were saying and how they were acting. It was like, oh, I thought these people almost walked on water. And, you know, it was all in God's plan and purpose. I was looking too much at people and not God. And there was also some spiritual figures, same type of thing happened. But at a young, tender age, teenage years, like young people here, hypocrisy, and who's a hypocrite? Everyone's hand should go up. We all struggle with hypocrisy, but when it's seen by young people, especially when it's seen in an unthinking and in a very callous manner, it can devastate their faith and their relationship with Jesus. It's all just pretend. It's all just fake. And it shouldn't be that way. We should trust God for ourselves. But remember, the Bible isn't just the words written on that page. Once again, 2 Corinthians 3:2, you ourselves are our letter, a living epistle written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. This morning, I'd like us all to stand. I'd like all of our young people to come forward. and just stand, make a line up in front. And then after, young people, you guys come up, all the teens who are here, whether you participated or not in this morning, you're all our young people, whether you come to youth or not. Amen? And then I like parents to stand behind them. We're going to, number one, we're going to pray for ourselves. And we're going to pray in Jesus' name that we're going to do a better job. And I think there's evidence that we're doing a good job. Amen? But I want to do a better job. I want to see these kids. And one of my heart's cries and desires is to see these kids to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to see them filled to overflowing with the Spirit. I want them to know what their calling and purpose is in life. And it may be full-time ministry, and it may not be, but that doesn't mean God's calling is any less. God has something for you. So we're going to pray that God will give us a greater vision and purpose for these young people. And then we're going to pray for them, that God would just take them from where they are now and bring them to a higher place in Him. In Jesus' name.